I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Julie.
And I'm from San Leandro, which is just south of Oakland. And it was a nice drive coming up. There was no rain, and I got to see a rainbow. So that was kind of fun. And it's hard for me to condense in 15 minutes, but I'm going to do my best as to what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I'll tell you off the top that I'm 61 years old, and I've been abstaining for 32 years, so half my life has been abstinent, and let me emphasize, not perfect, abstinent. For me, I define abstinence as refraining from eating certain foods that will send me out the door and I'll never come back. Those happen to be foods high in refined sugar. I also abstained from binging. That is a eating behavior that will send me out the door and never return. Now there's a whole host of foods I refrain from because I don't like food that talks to me. I don't like food that when I have it, the rest of the day, week, month, or year, it's going, I think you should have that again. In fact, I think you should have that all day long. So, and those, you know, there's been a lot of trial and error over this time. But I'll tell you that my top weight was in this program, and it was over 200 pounds. I'm 5'3", and I quit weighing at 189, so, but I continued to binge pretty ferociously for another 6 weeks. So the 200 mark is probably not far off if it's not that. My bottom weight in this program was 98 pounds because I thought... I used to go to meetings. I'm from Southern California in West Los Angeles at the meeting place on Idaho. And I used to see anorexics, and I thought they were at their goal weight. So I thought, okay, this is what I need to get to, you know. And I would hear people be happy, joyous, and free, or reasonably so. And I thought if I just got thin enough. Now, I'm not real smart, but I'm not. English is my first language. I'm able to read it. I've been attending meetings, but I couldn't get the part about and the steps with abstinence are what bring the happy, joyous, and free. Not the plan of eating. The plan of eating is a tool. It's not a goal. And so I kept losing weight, thinking eventually this would work, and it didn't, and I went to an OA retreat at a year and a half of abstinence, and miserable, oh my God, miserable, because I took away the food, but I still had the spiritual void. I hadn't had the personality change. All I was very, very thin. So thin, in fact, that I had to wear thermal underwear in the winter in Southern California. I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without being exhausted. My hair was coming out, and I was in my 20s, and I wasn't having a menstrual cycle. And I thought, no, this only happened once. I don't think it's happening to me. Mm-hmm. So, I can't be pregnant. So what's going on, and what was going on is I was starving myself to death and didn't even realize it. And I was in the program. And I went to an OA retreat. I found out they lock up the food between meals. And I began compulsively overeating there because I didn't have a food scale. And I hadn't worked the steps. I didn't trust God. I hadn't cleaned house. I had kind of taken the steps 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And I came into Overeaters Anonymous because I got to the third step and I wasn't eating compulsively. And any of you or some of you may have discovered that when you stop eating compulsively, anger comes up. And I was like one of those boiling pots with a lid going, bum, 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 you know. Anyway, so I was angry at God. I was angry at everybody and everything and hadn't dealt with any stuff. So they said, you know, like the book says, food and fat are but a symptom. We had to get down to causes and conditions. And it's sort of like having measles. You think, that's the problem. No, it's not. That's a symptom of the disease. My weight was a symptom, and my behavior was a symptom, and my attitude was a symptom of the disease of compulsive overeating. So anyway, I began compulsively overeating at an OA retreat, but when you go to 98 to 110, most people are just glad you're not going to die that week. But unfortunately, I did not stop there. And I remember I went to a meeting and I said, I'm miserable eating, I'm miserable not eating, I might as well eat. And I wondered, thank you, I wondered, only 5 minutes left? No, 5 minutes down. Okay, got it. Okay, so anyway, I went out and I did basically this, metaphorically speaking. I climbed a very high dive. I walked to the end of it. I jumped once, twice, three times, and dove into a pool with no water. I went out. I didn't do that literally, guys. It's a metaphor. Okay. So I dived into that pool, and I went out and got a protein binge, and I said what I've heard at meetings, oh, tomorrow I'll get back on. And tomorrow I got a sugar binge, and then I was off to the races. I was eating around the clock. I put on 16 pounds in 6 days. I went from 98 to 200 in less than 3 months. And during the months of June, July, and August in Southern California, where temperatures are three digits. So I was not a happy camper, and I was just going to meetings to not be eating at that. I didn't have enough balls to eat at the meeting. But I ate before the meeting, and I ate after the meeting. And I hated all of you, and I didn't. I knew when they said, you don't take that first compulsive bite. I knew when they said it's a progressive illness. I knew they said it gets worse, never better. But I had to live it for myself. I had to find out. And I couldn't understand why anybody would gain their weight back. I thought, why'd you lose it? God, why would you do that? Well, I found out why. Because I'm a compulsive overeater. And if all I change is the outside, then eventually the outside's going to match the inside. So for the next 2.5 years, I went to meetings, and I tried to get abstinent. And my first abstinence of any length started around November when I met a sponsor who was, I think she was about a few months out of a mental institution, and we were a match. And, but she let me sit in her home on Thanksgiving Day and watch The Twilight Zone, and the only reason why I abstained at Thanksgiving was because I was eyeball to eyeball across the table from my sponsor. And Rod Serling's in the background, and I thought, this is perfect. This is you know. And but I would eat and not eat and eat and not eat and eat and not eat and ask God for help. And then, you know, I would eat again and ask God for help, and I would eat again. And after a while, my higher power and I had a little bit of a credibility issue going on. And what happened was, one time I ate again, you know, one of my favorite last binges, I'll share this and then shut up about the whole eating thing, is I was on the freeway in Southern California to pick up my then boyfriend, now husband, from work. I'm eating bagels and cream cheese in a stick shift. And I got to get this bagel ate before I pick him up. So I've got, one hand's got a bagel, the other hand's got a knife with some cream cheese on it. I'm on the freeway in a stick shift, and I'm putting cream cheese on this bagel, and it was raining. And I'm, like, practically hydroplaning, but, you know, this is important. First things first here, okay? So, and that's the kind of stuff, that's the kind of stuff I do, you know? I would swear to myself, I'm never eating again, and I would throw the food away in a paper bag, throw it in the trash, only to go out that night with a flashlight looking for the food to eat. Pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization are just words till you live them. And I got to live those words. I got to know what that's like. I got to know what it's like to have people give you the look when they haven't seen you in a while and they saw you like this and now I'm like this, okay? And, you know you can't scare a compulsive overeater, but I know you can love them. Mm-hmm. And somebody said something loving to me after a meeting, after I just binged on a loaf of bread and a pound of butter, and they, for some reason, I just believed them that maybe I was okay, and maybe I was worth saving, because I hated my guts, and I hated the wrong person. I didn't know who was home. I had to abstain and work the steps to find out who was really home, who I really was. So I began abstaining, and I got to tell you, it was not easy. It was not a it was a gift from God, I guess. But it was one of those gifts wrapped in a wrapping you don't want. And meaning, I I ate breakfast and it was like, I could eat 12 more of these. What the H? You know, but I got to get up and go to work. So I would shower and I'd be pounding the steering wheel on the way to work saying, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this. I'm binging at lunch. And I would eat my abstinent lunch in, 2-3 seconds. And then smoke a quick cigarette, go back to work saying, you know, F this S, I hate this stuff. I know binging is a, you know, ticket to nowhere. I'm like the living dead when I eat, but I don't care. I'm binging at dinner, and then I would come home. Have you ever eaten your abstinent dinner crying? Because he's not really... Broccoli, chicken, hello? And then I would say, okay, I hate OA, and I'm going to the meeting because I'm the stupid literature person. So I'd go to the meeting. I wouldn't lay it out nice like that. I'd go, boom, boom, boom. That's it. There's your literature. Happy? You know, and like me, want what I got, you know. And then I'd hear somebody say something that would make me laugh. And I'd just say, higher power, just get me home and get me to bed. And I would. And that's what it was like for about 9 months. And it didn't, you know, I didn't sail into abstinence. And it took a long time for the monkey to get off my back. And still to this day, I mean, like right now, it's the time of year where lots of things appear in the market that aren't on my plan of eating. And sometimes they look very sparkly. But the bottom line is because this program, I've been restored to some sanity to remember what it was like. Not the happy part, not how it tastes. But how do I feel and what do I do when I engage in that? So how do I keep from engaging in that behavior? How do I have the spiritual awakening, which means a change in my attitude and my actions? That's come from the steps and that's come from working with a sponsor. I would strongly suggest anybody who's new or fairly new to find a sponsor, someone who has what you want, and ask them how they achieve that. And my sponsor had 80-pound weight loss in 5 years, and I said, yeah, what do I got to do? And I would do what we did today. We would get in the car and go to different meetings, and we would go to OA events, which you just think, oh, I already go to meetings. I have to go and sit with these people again. Yes, you do. And I would go to conferences, and I didn't like those too much because everybody seemed happy, and they seemed to know everybody, and they didn't seem to feel like I felt. But I would maybe recognize one person or meet my sponsor there, and then it was okay. And I would hear something. I don't know. I just do this stuff. The best way I know to recover is just follow directions. Just follow directions, you know. The directions are in the big book. The directions are in our OA 12 and 12. And it's so hard for me to do that, but when I'm willing, in other words, when I'm in enough pain... It's like, okay, and I'm only restored to sanity on a 24-hour basis. That's all this program is, 24 hours. So look on the bright side. How bad can your higher power muff up your life in 24 hours? Right? I figured, okay, I'll turn it over, you know. But today that is more and more what I'm trying to do. There's a part in Chapter 5 where it says, you know, we tried to wrest satisfaction out of life by managing well. And to this day, I still think, well, aren't you supposed to manage well? It's like, yes, you know, you are. It's a good idea to pay your bills. It's a good idea to have your car worked on. Good idea to floss. All that stuff's a good idea. That's having a manageable life, okay? When I don't do those things, my life becomes unmanageable. If I don't go to meetings, my life becomes unmanageable. If I don't work the steps, my life becomes way unmanageable. And if I don't have a higher power in my life, I haven't got a shot at this. Now, that's me. My sponsor's an atheist. She's maintaining 110-pound weight loss now for over 40 years. So I don't know how she does it, but she has a power greater than herself somewhere. And she works these steps. And she's abstinent. So it's all about, I'm just sharing with you my experience. Thank you. Doesn't make it right. Makes it my experience. So I just want to say, to end, I was supposed to be passing around pictures at this time. So I'm going to pass them around now because they they let you know a little bit what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. There's a cartoon at the end you don't want to miss. So that's it. Thank you, our timer. And I have a hard time shutting up, but I am going to do so now. Thank you.
Thanks.
We will now pass the basket to observe the seventh.